Let's hear the very word of God from Acts 1, verses 1 through 8. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord God, we give thanks for this passage, for the excitement that comes from it, for the beginnings of your church being built, for using people like us, simple, weak people, that we can be encouraged to know that that is how you build your church. And as we see that it's not our time to understand, that you would give us peace about what we don't know and can't know, and that you would give us hope for our future, and that you would bless Pastor Andrew as he brings this word to us and opens it, and may your Holy Spirit fill our hearts with the truths of your gospel. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
All right, well, it's great to be back. Last week I had a moment where I thought, do I need to go to the hospital? This is not going in a good direction, but thanks be to God, doing better. Very grateful for Bruce stepping in last week and taking a look at a really appropriate passage, both for Epiphany as well as for the opening of Acts, as we're going to be in Acts for a good section of the year coming up. We are going to be going through Acts. Acts is an interesting compilation written by Luke. Luke is a physician. We know that from one of Paul's writings. Luke is a participant of the events of Acts. He writes himself into the story in a number of places. We call those the we passages of Acts. It's firsthand, it's history. He's telling a story, not a make-believe story, but a true story, capturing the heart of what Jesus began to do. He's writing it for Theophilus. Theophilus, we assume, is like a patron, somebody who maybe is helping to support Luke and Paul and their missionary journeys. Theophilus literally means God lover. So it's a chance that it could not be a real person, but it seems like it's a real person who had that name. And Luke is writing these things in order to give him an account. I wonder, you know, as we dive into Acts, and as you're here this morning and one of the first Sundays of 2026, like, what sort of word might describe your hope for a study of Acts, or your hope for your Christian life, or your life in general? I'm not assuming that everybody here is a follower of Jesus, but like, if you could hope for something, could it be something like, or might it be something like, I want to be astonished? you know, by what is going on in the story. I want to be bowled over. I want to have my mind blown. I want to feel the energy, the excitement. Yeah, I think sometimes we think about that. You know, for some of you, maybe it's like, could this possibly be true? I know that there's all kinds of wreckage in my life. I know that there's all sorts of ways in which I feel the dis-energy of the world that I live in. But could it possibly be true? Yeah, that as these apostles go through, these common women and men go through the story, and they're seeing people healed, they're seeing lives turned around, they're seeing truth coming to power in various ways throughout the book of Acts. Like, is it really true? Is there a life-changing? And I think, you know, for others of us, we come and, I mean, how many church services have you been to in your life? Like, really? And you're like, you know, is it just going through the motions? Am I just going? Am I singing the songs? Am I sort of plugging in, unplugging, going back to my Monday to Saturday life? Or is there something about the story? Is there something about who Jesus is and what he's doing in the world that could actually transform who I am Monday through Saturday, that would really make a difference? And that's what I'm praying for, that both individually and collectively, as we open up the book of Acts, that there is a fresh astonishment with a crucified, risen Savior who has rewritten your life, who is giving meaning and purpose, who is restoring all sorts of broken things that you experience day in and day out. And that's my prayer. Wherever you are on that journey, that there would be a freshness as we walk through the book of Acts. This is what Luke is recording. He's like, I was there. I saw it. You know, one of the books that I have, Michael Green, talks about 30 years that changed the world, from the resurrection of Jesus and until the beginning of the second century. There's never been a few decades like that, the sea change that was taking place in the Roman Empire. There was just such a profound effect of the gospel going forward, and we want to capture a little bit of that as we walk through this. Probably for the most of the year, we're going to be in the book of Acts. So these first eight verses, what are some of the things that we begin to encounter? The first thing that I want to highlight for you is that this isn't a brand new story, but this is a continuing story. You see that in verse 1 in the first book, O Theophilus. I dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day that he was taken up. Some of you know your Bible. You know that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those are the four Gospels. These are a combination of narrative and teaching and all of these things, but they talk about the life of Jesus, the 30 years, 33 years that he lived on this earth. Acts then picks up the story and tells the, you know, the next however many years, the next 30 plus years until the end of Paul's ministry primarily. And in the book of Acts, what we're getting is not a new story, but a continuation of Jesus's story. And that's one of the things that Luke wants us to know right away, is like, I'm telling you the ongoing narrative of Jesus. Jesus may not be present in the flesh, but he is ruling and he is reigning and he is the king. He is the one that is inhabiting his Father's throne above and is continuing to carry out the story in the lives of real people. And that's something that we just need to recognize. You know, we spent Advent tracing this theme of kingship from Adam all the way to Jesus. And here we pick up with that theme of kingship again. Jesus himself presented himself alive to his apostles, appearing to them, speaking to them about what? The kingdom of God. You know, this is who I am. I am the king. This is what I came to do, to establish a kingdom. This is what we pray for. Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is what we were singing. You know, the valleys shall ring. There's a shout in the camp. You know, your kingdom come. And that's the longing that Luke has, that Paul has, as they're proclaiming, Peter, all of them is to proclaim the kingdom of God. And of course, the kingdom centers on the work of a king. Part of, you know, our challenge is to see that afresh and to see that aright, I guess is a better word. You notice, you know, with the disciples, when they had come together, verse 6, they said, Lord, at this time will you restore the kingdom to Israel? They're thinking something different than what Jesus was talking to them about. Bruce, I think, captured this really well last week when he was talking about Peter's expectations of who Jesus was as a Messiah versus what our expectations may be. And the need that we have for Jesus to correct those expectations. But you see that here. You mean the disciples, the apostles, they're saying, yeah, we're ready for the kingdom. We're ready for Rome to be overthrown. We're ready for you to take up and rule and reign in a physical sort of way, rule by the sword. But Jesus is saying, no, that's not what my kingdom is about. And we see Peter, who, you know, Jesus rebukes, get thee behind me, Satan. He becomes such an emissary for the kingdom. The kingdom that comes not with swords loud clashing or roll of stirring drums, but deeds of love and mercy. You know, Acts is a book about the power of the Spirit. Acts is a book about willingness to go into suffering and to suffer for the sake of the gospel. Acts is about a coming together, not just of Jews or one ethnic group being part of a religious expression, but all sorts of people, Jews and Gentiles, men and women, slaves and free, nobles and common people, everybody coming together. And that is the kingdom that Jesus has come to proclaim. It's a kingdom that totally upends what we might conceive of as being the wise way to establish a kingdom. And it says, I am going to establish my kingdom in my way. And this is one of the challenges that we have. You know, I think about this for my own life. When we preach and teach, you know, we take a passage and we say, okay, what is this saying? And then we ask an application question, like, what is this saying to me, or what is this saying to us? And I think sometimes we can, you know, come into church, you can tell me if this is true or not, and we can, we want to hear from God's word, and we want it to tweak our lives a little bit, you know, make adjustments. If we could get, you know I've been suboptimal. If I could just get a little bit more, if I could just. But one of the things that Jesus is doing in establishing his kingdom is he's not just tweaking. He is subverting. He is replacing. Like, what he is doing is the truth about humanity, about the world that we live in. And so when we read the book of Acts, it's not just like going in for a tune-up. It is like an overhaul. We're going to put a whole new engine in this thing. We are going to blow it out. And that's the kind of anticipation, that's the kind of expectation that we need to ask the Spirit to get us ready for. Not just a tweak, but a complete, total transformation. Secondly, it's interesting, you know, this the continuing story of Jesus, the King with his kingdom. It is a story that is to be taken throughout the world. I mean, you see this in the book of Acts. We have this sort of outline. In verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, to the end of the earth. Some of you know that, you know, Jerusalem starts here, Judea, a little bit bigger, Samaria, incorporating yet a wider region and a whole different group of people to the ends of the earth. You've got this concentric circles. And there's a picture here that says, you have a call. You have a purpose. As a follower of Jesus, he is the King. He is establishing a kingdom that totally blows the doors off of our expectations, is transformative in terms of our heart. And you are called to be witnesses, close, a little bit further away, to the ends of the earth. You know, there is this broad range of territory, a broad range of people. You are called to be my witnesses in that way. What's interesting is who. The who of Acts is fascinating, just to see all of the different people that come in. Of course, we have folks like Peter and John, and later we have Paul, and Luke writes himself in the story. But next week, we're going to see there's all of these disciples together. There's a spot where there's somebody missing. Actually, in 2 weeks, we'll see this. And so they elect a guy by the name of Matthias, but the women are there with them. Women are involved in moving throughout. We've got Jews, we've got Gentiles, we've got people like Cornelius who are part of the Roman government. So there's all of these different people. And that's part of the purpose that we see in Acts, is that Jesus is inaugurating, he's spreading this kingdom through ordinary people. In fact, chapter 4, verse 13, you have, after Peter and John heal this lame beggar, they're brought before the council. The council, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. And that's part of the astonishment of Acts, is that God is at work in his world through people like you and me. Uneducated, common people. People who have all kinds of flaws, who have all kinds of weaknesses. People who constantly are getting it wrong. But God is pleased to use those type of people. Here's the key. They recognize that they had been with Jesus. And we see that in this passage. You know, you look in Acts chapter 1. In the first book, I began to deal with all the things Jesus was doing and teaching until he was taken up. After he had given to the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days, speaking out about the kingdom of God. I love a couple of the things that are highlighted there about, you know, these ordinary people, people like you, me. One is they're chosen. You know, Jesus works in our lives, and he comes and he places his call on us. And he says, follow me. Follow me. Be my witness. Tell people about me. Have you heard that? Have you recognized that? You know, part of the way that Jesus does it, I mean, it can be just through, you know, an epiphany. We talked about that last week, you know, seeing clearly whether it's in a dream or a conversation with somebody through the ordinary preaching of the word. Some of it could be just a growing realization, like I am called to be a disciple. I am called to follow Jesus. But then notice that when you are chosen, just how kind Jesus is to come and to show himself to the disciples. I mean, we know a little bit about this from the end of John and the end of Luke. Like these men and women, you know, we talked about the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they were literally walking with Jesus and didn't recognize him. And yet he eventually revealed himself to them, encouraged them. They were astonished again. How about Jesus being in the upper room and Thomas being there? And Thomas is like, unless I, you know, see him and put my fingers in his wounds and my hand in his side, I'll never believe. Jesus says, come on, Thomas. Put your fingers here. Put your hand here. Jesus knows our weaknesses. He knows our frailty. And he is so good to meet us, to accommodate our own weakness in order that we might be equipped to follow him. I hope that that encourages you today, because I know that many of you feel so inadequate to speak for Christ. You know, we talk about hypocrisy in the church at different times. And if we are honest, we're right there saying, yes, hypocrite, that's me. But Jesus comes and he reveals himself and he says, this is the whole point of the gospel. The gospel is, it's not your righteousness, but it's my righteousness. It's my finished work. You go bear witness to that. You go spread that. So I think it's really important that we talk about this today. You know, we're going to ordain four guys to the office of elder. And, you know, they've spent a good bit of time just wrestling with that nomination and thinking about their own lives, studying, preparing, all of these things. The church has affirmed that. But let's be clear, we didn't affirm that these guys got it all together. And when the rest of the session stands up here, we're not saying, like, this is the pinnacle right here. We're not saying that. But we are saying that these men have recognized the call, and they've been with Jesus. They've sought out what it means to walk with their Savior, and they're willing to keep doing that. So you can go to them and you can say, hey, I'm struggling. And they might say, yeah, I'm struggling too. Let's figure this out together. You know, let's pray about this. Let's look in the Word. Let's see where we can go. That's the call to eldership. That's the call to follow Jesus. The third thing that I just highlight for you is the reality that the power for the witness is not something that comes from ourselves. And we're going to talk a lot more about this, so I'm going to breeze through it today and just kind of mention it. But we're going to talk a lot more about it. But you see, I mean, even when we were looking at Luke 24 a couple of weeks ago, the instruction was, go to Jerusalem and wait until you are clothed with power from on high. Is the instruction that they have. And here it's the go to Jerusalem and wait until you receive the promise of the Father, until you are baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that is the key right there, is the Holy Spirit. We've been singing about it, come Holy Ghost, Creator blessed. You know, we pray for the not the coming of that power. If you are in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit, but we want a full awareness of it, and we want to live in it. We don't want to take for granted the fact that we have the Holy Spirit as God's people. And so all of these areas, like, we feel so inadequate, we feel so unable to go forward. How do I share the gospel with my neighbor? How do I enter into the grief of this person? How do I, help this person who has such deep, deep needs? How do we do that? How do we do that? Well, we do it with the Holy Spirit. You know, it's the Holy Spirit living inside of us. In my office, I have some Pez dispensers. I know some of the kids are really happy about those. But one of them is Iron Man. And I often think about Iron Man and the Holy Spirit. I'm sure your mind goes there as well. But in this way, you know, in the early Iron Man mythology, Tony Stark, who's really rich, but he's got no power, right? He has a heart condition, and he has to put this really powerful electromagnet type thing into his chest area in order to keep out the shards of metal from getting to his heart and killing him. But it is also the power plant that powers his suit. And the suit is where he gets all of his power. And, you know, over the mythology, it sort of changes and it becomes more. But that's kind of the picture of the Holy Spirit. We have that power plant united to Christ. When you become a Christian, when you are united to Him, you have that power implanted in you that both repels evil that would threaten to otherwise overwhelm you and powers the suit that you can fly. I mean, you have the power. And that's what the book of Acts is about. I mean, we see amazing things in the book of Acts. How does it happen? It's you're clothed with power from on high. This is the promise of the Father. You are baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's not something, if you are a believer, it's not something you're waiting for. It's not something that happens to only the super spiritual. This is yours. You live in it. And that's the story of the book of Acts. The last thing that I'll just say is this. The result of this is that the kingdom spreads. I mean, the stories are incredible as we walk through Acts. I mean, people are healed, the lame beggar. People are raised from the dead. You think about Eutychus, who fell asleep in a sermon. Just saying. He died, but he was raised from the dead. There are amazing stories. Paul is bitten by a venomous snake, and you know, everybody's expecting him to die, and he doesn't die. People in the Roman government are saved. Their lives are transformed. Slave women in the marketplace of Philippi, their lives are... I mean, there is incredible stuff that is going on. This is the work of the gospel. And this is what I want us to get excited about. Like, you're not just checking a box when you come to church. We are not just getting by trying to be a little more moral, a little more socially acceptable in the U.S. No, we are transformed. God is transforming this world through His people. We are a part of an enterprise that is amazing. And I hope to some degree that we can capture a little bit of that astonishment. God's kingdom goes forward. We heard about it last week. You know, we think about Grand Rapids, which we sometimes call Jerusalem, but it goes beyond Jerusalem. It goes beyond the United States. It goes to Pakistan and all throughout the world. We're thinking about the spread of the gospel, and we're called to be a part of it. We're so happy to have Kyle and Morgan Culbertson here. They're thinking about planting a church and coming on and being part of the mission as we move forward. How do we capture that? How do we plug into that? Why do we plug into it? The book of Acts really helps us with this. I love the last verse in Acts, and this is where the title for the series comes from. But in Acts chapter 28, some of you know that there are religious organizations, church planting, otherwise called Acts 29, There is no Acts 29, but the idea is we are Acts 29. We are part of the ongoing story of it. But here's the last verse of Acts. Paul was in Rome. He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense. He welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Unhindered. That is the world that we live in. We live in a world where the truth about who Jesus is, his death, his resurrection, the transformation that comes about as a follower of Jesus, we live in a world where that is going forward with boldness and unhindered. So often I feel like we as Christians, and maybe I'm just talking for myself, we get on our heels and we feel defensive and we feel like, you know, the message that we have is not popular, it's too hard. But one of the things that Acts invites us and encourages us to is grab a hold, because what God is doing is beyond what we could ask or imagine. Grab a hold, because there is a boldness to this message that will transform lives. Grab a hold, because there is nothing. There's no principality, no power. There is no ruler of this world or any other might that can stop the spread of the gospel. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for the good news of Acts, the good news of what Jesus began to do and to teach and how it continues, both in the first century as well as into our lives. Lord, we pray. You teach us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. And Lord, we want to be a people that has that truth overflowing us, and we ask that you would continue to work that in our hearts, in our lives, to your glory and to the edification of many who are not walking with you. So Lord, as we begin this study, we pray that you would meet us. We pray that you would rend our hearts, find your way in through the stuffiness, find your way in through the complacency, find your way through the unbelief that we so often bring, and bring a freshness to us. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.